Hi, my name is Pastor Jeremy Bannister. And for those of you who are here for the first time, or if you've been coming for a while, I'm the lead pastor here at Heights Christian Church. And one of the things that we do differently here at Heights is that we go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. And how we do that is we read the scriptures together Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday, we break those scriptures down either in whole or in part through the sermon. And the reason we do this is twofold. Number one, so that we can become biblically literate, so we know what the Bible actually says. You know, that's one of the things I think all of us as believers want. Those of us who love Jesus and want to be able to say, hey, I know what the Bible says. That's why we do it. 250 sermons over 5 years period of time is going to help us understand the Bible a lot better. Amen? So the other reason is we believe that the thread that is mentioned from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is that of redemption in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the better we know the scriptures, the better we are in sharing the good news of Jesus to the world around us. Those are the two reasons why we do that. And so we invite you to join us on this journey. You can go out to the information desk and we have reading plans. This has all of your reading for 2026. Okay, so everything from the beginning of January to the end of December, all included right there, and they're free. So if you're like, I don't know if is this for donation? No, this is just for you, because we want you to follow along with us. You can also download a copy or view a copy on our website at heightschristian.org. You can go to the Visit tab and go to the button there, and the button you can either view or download this exact same booklet, so you can have it on your phones and whatnot, so you can read along with us. Now, those of you who already have them, how many of you already have them? A lot of you guys, that's awesome. You'll notice there's no reading for this week. And I mentioned last week that if, you know, we had about 2 weeks off from reading, that you could read the Gospel of Mark, you know, but for those who have picked up and they said, well, I'm not going to read the whole Gospel of Mark necessarily in this week, not that you couldn't, you absolutely could. But if you're just doing it for this week and like, hey, it's kind of a week where we're not reading anything, what would you suggest? I suggest the book of Ephesians. 6 chapters long, 1 chapter a day. It's going to help you understand why Jesus came and how we're supposed to be as God's people. And so my encouragement to you is if you, like, I want to get in the habit of reading, like we're going to be doing as a congregation, pick Ephesians this week and sit down and read that together. All right, with that being said, why are we not reading this week? Well, because the first week of every year, we've been doing this at least 10 years now as a church, is we cast a vision of where we're going as a congregation together so that we can see how God is moving us. And God's been doing amazing things through Heights, hasn't it? Haven't you guys been seeing that in the last few years? It's been awesome to see the things that God is doing. And so Vision 2026, the title is Doubling Down on Discipleship. Okay, that's the title of the sermon today, more of the vision casting today, just so that you guys understand, of where we're going as a church. 2026 will mark 25 years of ministry for me here at Heights. July 1st is when I was hired back in 2001. And so I've been here since 2001. Some of y'all weren't alive then. Some of y'all weren't awake then. Those are two different things. And at 25 years, that's a pretty big milestone, don't you think? I mean, we think about 25 years of anything. You're thinking, wow, I've really accomplished something. 25 years in a job. How many of you have worked 25 or more years in a job? Raise your hand. How many of you have worked 25 more years in multiple jobs? Some of you have done that. That's pretty impressive, quite honestly. So 25 years in a job, 25 years in a marriage. How many of you have been married 25 years or longer? Amen. Praise God. There is something about that number 25 that just kind of grabs hold of you and says, there's something significant about this. When I was married 25 years to my wife, I'm like, I want 25 more. You know, and 25 more after that, if possible, we'll see. Well, it's all up to God as far as that goes. But, you know, I want to be married to her till death do us part. In my job, I'm probably thinking along the lines of how long am I going to be here, right? And for me, the pastor role, the lead pastor role, is where I am. Am I going to be here 25 years? You realize I'll be 79 years old 25 years from now. Probably still running around the church, screaming. Those who are youth understand exactly what I'm talking about. So, 79 years old. My question is this. Am I going to be still lead pastor here at Heights Christian Church at 79? Maybe. Maybe I'm John MacArthur, right? And I'm going to preach right over until I'm ready to go to the Lord. That's possible. There is a real possibility. More likely, I might be in a lesser role while somebody else is in a greater role here. And really, that's the heart of this idea of vision concerning discipleship. Because when we think about what happens in the context of churches today, most churches, when they think of discipleship, don't think of it in the area of leadership. And let me explain to you why. How many churches you go to 25 years in, they have the same pastor who's there. When that pastor leaves, what normally happens? They find a new one, yeah. They get a committee together and they say, we got to find us a pastor. We got to go out and do that. But that is not discipleship. Discipleship is not, let's go find a new pastor. Discipleship should be raising those up from within. When we think of discipleship, this desire lines up my whole idea and the thoughts of legacy here. I'm trying to think of what is Heights going to look like 25 years from now? It's a great question, isn't it? 25 years from now, what is Heights going to look like? Old? I don't think so. We've been growing younger. Praise God, I've been hearing all the babies. Amen. How many of you love hearing babies? Our church is growing younger, man. I don't know about you. So I want to see something that endures over time. I want to see God use Heights for many years, many generations, until Jesus comes back, if possible, right? And where does all this desire come from? Well, really, it comes from an understanding of what the Great Commission is. So let's take a look at the Great Commission together. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you will hear me state this so much. This is my mission in life. As a matter of fact, love God, love God's people, love serving God flows directly out of this statement, period. 100%. Jesus came near and said to them, this is after he's raised from the dead, he's about to be ascending into heaven. It's the last command recorded in Matthew, which we will read later on this year. It's the last command recorded in Matthew for him and his disciples. And he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. When we think of the Great Commission, one of the things I want you to notice is that the Great Commission is buttressed from on the front end and on the back end with these assurances that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and he is with us always. That is so important for us to understand. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and he is with us always, because that command, that great commission that is given to you and me to go out and do, is only done under his authority and his command with his presence. That's important for us to understand. I can't do the great commission in my strength, and neither can you. All authority in heaven and earth are his, and he's with us. Guess what? And he tells us to do challenging things. And so, that middle portion, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. This is that middle section That command that is to you and me buttressed on both ends by the authority of Jesus and the presence of Jesus in our lives. The command is make disciples. And then he tells us how. See, a disciple is just a follower. So we are told to go make followers of Christ. Tell others about Jesus. The good news by which Jesus came and died for you and me. Amen? And the first thing he tells us, how do we make disciples? What I love about Jesus is he's so succinct in his statement, and he gives us all the instruction we need right in that sentence. Go. You can't make disciples sitting down. You can't. You got to go. You got to go find them. You got to go find those people who don't know Jesus so you can share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what you and I have to do. We have to go. That's what he tells them to do. That's intimidating enough, but you know what? All authority is his and he's with us. That's important. Why should we go? We go because he told us to, but we go because he's empowered us to. Amen? We have good news to share with the world around us, and we want them to know that good news. Right? So we go. And then we baptize. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing all the followers in that name. You know why? Because God wants you to have an impact on other people's lives whom you know need Jesus. Guess what? You and I needed Jesus. Somebody came and told us. Right? Might have been your mom. Might have been your dad. Could have been a friend who brought you to church. Could have been anybody. But somebody at some point told you that you needed Jesus. Or brought you to a place that revealed your need for Jesus. And you're pretty thankful for those people, aren't you? Mine was my wife, a good friend of mine named David. Not that David, different David. And my grandmother, who passed away in 98. Those three people had a huge impact on my life for telling me about Jesus. Bringing me to a place where I could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And God wants you to have that impact on somebody else. And here's the thing. God tells us that he wants us not just to go, but to baptize. And why would we baptize somebody? Because they've made a profession of faith. They, like you, like me, have come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, this great commission here at Heights, we believe is for everybody. In other words, if you're a growing and recognized as a growing member of Heights Christian Church, that somebody who is growing in grace and knowledge of who Jesus is and showing a maturity in your life, when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you talk to them and you've brought them to church and they make a decision for Jesus and we walk them through and talk to them about what baptism is all about and we ask them, who do you want to baptize? If they mention your name and we recognize you as a growing member of Heights Christian Church who's growing in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, you're the one up there in that baptismal, baptizing them. Because the Great Commission is for everybody. This is for you. It's for me. Moms and dads need to be up there with their kids. People need to be up there with their friends. Other family members, their coworkers, whoever it is has had an impact on their life for Jesus Christ. Part of our fulfilling the Great Commission and sharing that good news is the privilege of baptizing them in new faith in Jesus Christ. And I want every single one of us to be able to say, I'm fulfilling the Great Commission in my life. Amen? So we want for every single one of you. We go, we baptize them. And then we just let them do whatever they want. No, we don't. No. The third thing is so important. We teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded. See, Jesus wants us to be disciples, followers of Christ, making other followers of Christ. It's important for us to understand what that means. Teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded is not just, oh, you know Jesus, that's good. No, it's, you know Jesus, that's great. Let's grow together. Let's walk with somebody and grow together with them. And where do we learn this? Well, ironically, or not so ironically, Jesus is our example. Jesus called the first disciples. He's the one who set aside the 12 and brought them to himself, and he designated them disciples, followers of him. Jesus is not only our example. Jesus Not only did Jesus call the first disciples, he made the first disciples. Think about that for just a moment. Jesus didn't call the first disciples. He made the first disciples. So I want to take some time today because as we break down this idea of what it means to double down on discipleship and what that means for us as a church family together and what that means for the future of Heights for this year and going forward, you need to understand discipleship's going to touch every area of the lives of the people that you're investing in. Absolutely. And so how did Jesus do it? I mean, if Jesus is the example, and Jesus not only called the first disciples, but made the first disciples, what can we learn from Jesus to know how we're to make disciples? Because that's what we're doubling down on. Amen? I got three of you. Well, number one, Jesus spent time investing in his disciples. That's what he did. When Jesus said, follow me, it's not like you and me saying we signed up for a class online and I'm going to be there every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for an hour. That's not the same type of discipleship. That's probably what we think about discipleship because that's how we do it in our culture today. In Jesus' day, as a rabbi, as he's walking around telling people about him, he's like, follow me, you're with me now. And for the next 3.5 years, they were day and night with Jesus. They walked together. They ate together. They camped out together. Everything that they did in life together. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they threw their fishing nets down and followed Jesus. They were fishermen by trade. When Jesus called them, they weren't doing that anymore. And so for 3.5 years, all of their waking hours and some of their not waking hours are spent with Jesus, doing what he's doing, going where he's going, listening to what he's teaching, seeing how he's ministering. Everything that's happening, he is investing all of his time toward these 12. Now you might think, well, he's had the crowds and he had all these other people. They're only there for short periods of time. All those other accounts that you're looking at in the Gospels, those are not long periods of time where he spent hours and days and weeks ministering those places. Those are short, specific places that he goes to, he ministers, he leaves, but the disciples consistently go with him. Everywhere he goes. And if you took the waking hours, best that I can put out there, if you took the waking hours, that 3.5 year period of time, the disciples spent between 15 and 18,000 hours with Jesus in 3.5 years. Now that's an education. I mean, literally, that's an education. The hours your kids spend in school from kindergarten to 12th grade in the teacher's room is about 16,000 hours. So the disciples got a kindergarten through 12th grade education from Jesus concerning things of faith in 3.5 years. There's no getting around the idea that discipleship takes time. But more than just that, he invested time in the disciples. Number two, Jesus released the disciples to do ministry. When we see them, he sends them off to different places. We read in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10 where he releases them to go out to the different towns and villages that Jesus was going to visit and announce the kingdom of God. Not just announce the kingdom of God, but to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, to proclaim the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God by the person of Jesus Christ. So they would go out to all the surrounding places, two by two, to all these surrounding towns, doing what Jesus told them to do, sharing the good news. And they came back and they were amazed. They were like, my goodness, even the demons listen to us. That's awesome. And Jesus is like, don't be happy that the demons listen to you. Be happy that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you need to be thankful for. The coming of the kingdom of God is here. And so he did that with the 12. He did that with the 72, going out to all those different places. He released them into ministry, but he didn't just allow them to succeed. They got to see amazing things. You could see Peter and James and John see the transfiguration. They could see Jesus walking on the water. Imagine all the amazing things that they got to see. They also got to see that Jesus allowed them to fail. And we see that written all throughout the scriptures, don't we? How many of you like to fail? Do you know failing is an important part of the discipleship process? You may not think so, but it's true. So we see success and failure, I think, brilliantly demonstrated in one passage in Matthew 16. And we'll read that later on this year. But Matthew 16, Jesus sits down with the disciples and he asks them, who do people say that I am? And they say, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? Peter chimes up and he says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, this confession of faith, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then immediately afterwards, he talks about his impending death on the cross. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. I'm going to be dead and buried 3 days and rise again. And Peter's like, nah, fam. I got this one. This ain't ever happening to you. All the adults are laughing. All the young adults are cringing. And Jesus, from this massive success to this massive failure in one place, says, get behind me, Satan, for you are no longer looking at the things of God. You're concerned about the things of man. From great success to great failure, right there in one passage. And we have it recorded. Why? Because Peter wasn't the Savior, Jesus is. You're not the Savior either. You're a messenger. So as you share the good news of Jesus Christ, there are going to be times where you don't do it quite right. It's okay. I mean, get it right the next time, but it's okay. Failure's part of the discipleship process. It just is. We can't be afraid of it. You're going to fail. There are things you're going to try. They're not going to work the way that you want them to. There's nothing wrong with that. It shouldn't be a discouragement, but an encouragement to learn from it. Step forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The third thing Jesus did is he prepared them to to make disciples after his departure. Which is an ironic thing when you think about it, because the disciples didn't think he was going to leave. You can read throughout all the Gospels. They're like, and I'm going to go away. And they're like, he's got to be speaking metaphorically. He's got to be speaking in a parable. He's got to be speaking in some other way. But Jesus was always going to leave. He knew this and he was preparing them. So everything that he did was in preparation for them doing the ministry that he was then doing. He's telling the good news of the kingdom comes through him. And that's exactly what his disciples were going to be doing. Right? That's where the go is, right? Go, baptize, teach them to obey everything I'm commanding you. Everything that he had been walking them through for the last 3.5 years, he was preparing them for, because guess what? They were going to be walking others through that same thing. And this is how the book of Acts actually starts. You want to know how successful Jesus was? We look at the book of Acts, because where the Great Commission ends, the Gospel of Matthew, with this great charge for you and me to go forth to all nations and to go and baptize and to teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded. That's how Acts begins. It begins with the ascension of Jesus. It's a starting point. As a matter of fact, I love the book of Acts just because the book of Acts starts with this. In my former book, Most Excellent Theophilus, I told you of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Think about that. Jesus has ascended to heaven. By chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus is off the scene, and the whole point of this book is to talk about the continuation of all the things that Jesus is doing. And how is he doing it? He's doing it through the church. He's doing it through his disciples. He's doing it through the ones whom he made disciples of, who are now going out and making disciples of others. You're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's how Acts begins. And what do we read in the book of Acts? That's exactly what they do. You want to know how successful Jesus was at making disciples? Read the book of Acts. Understand the direction that he went, and understand what the disciples did based upon the teachings of Jesus, and how they pass that down to others. Pretty cool stuff, if you ask me. So, this leads to a very obvious question. If that's the goal of what the commission is for you and me, how are we going to do it? How are you and me going to fulfill this great commission? Because it is a great, it's intimidating. Isn't the Great Commission intimidating? Three of you are saying yes, the others of you are afraid to say anything at all. It's intimidating. How many of you feel like I'm not up for it? I don't know enough. Raise your hand if you don't feel like I know enough. Raise your hand if you feel like I've never done that before. I want to. I know I'm supposed to, but I've never really done that before. Raise your hand. I know we're all called to do it. It's a command of Jesus, but I don't know how do we become those disciples that make disciples of others? How does that impact this body of Heights Christian Church? Well, I want to give you guys some encouragement along the way. We're going to talk about three things. Those of you who like lists are going to love me today. I've got three things before what Jesus did, three things of how we're doing it. If you're a list person, raise your hand. God bless you. I did this for you. No, I did it for me too. But so how are we going to do it? Number one, by personally cultivating the disciplines of faith needed to make disciples out of ourselves. I need to be a disciple. You need to be a disciple. There are disciplines of faith that are encouraged by Jesus concerning believers in Christ. Here are what they are. This is what we've summed up. This is what we've identified in our church. These are the six disciplines of faith: Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, outreach, and service. You'll notice those two are together. Let me tell you why. Because some people always look at that one like, that's seven. You just put two there and put a slash in between them. It's like, no, they're six. Let me tell you why. Why is service toward believers, outreach toward non-believers? Because Jesus said this: all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus in the upper room, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Jesus said that all people will know that we're his disciples if we love one another. That care and love around this place is our first outreach. How we care for each other in this place is our first outreach to the world around us. Because when they see how we love each other, they're like, dude, world don't love like that. And it becomes a training ground for you and me, because when we reach out well to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we then know how to reach out to the world around us. So what do? People are sick. What do here? We hopefully serve them, right? If you know somebody who's sick in your life group and in your church family, you're like, they're sick. Hey, can we bring you a meal? Can we do something for you? We'd like to pray for you. See, all this is a training ground so that when you go to your unbelieving neighbor who's sick, hey, can we pray for you? I wrote this down for you. I got this food for you, and I just wanted to bless you in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because the church is a training ground for that. Always has been. According to the name of Jesus, according to his standard of outreach. Because he said, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. I've often said, you know, it's a tragedy if we have people who are hurting in our church and we'd rather help our neighbor who doesn't know Jesus than the person in our church who does. So outreach and service belong together. Discipleship, making further followers, helping people go beyond just Bible reading to understand what it means to follow Jesus. and then giving. And so one of the things that I'm encouraged with is that we're already doing this. You come over to my house, that list has been painted up by my daughter Victoria, and that's not the only place where I see that, because I know other households who have this list up in their house, painted up, put up in other places, which is so awesome to see that we're working on and reminding ourselves of discipline of faith, because we're called to be disciples. Those lists help me. I get to see it every single day. These are things I need to be doing. Not to earn salvation, but because of what Jesus has done for me. And so we're going to further focus on these things as a congregation in 2026. Many of you have seen this or heard this breakdown in some form or fashion, but some of you who are new haven't. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus more on these things as we're going through the Bible together. You're going to hear us talk about these disciplines of faith that need to be built up in our lives to encourage us so that we know the benefit of what these things are supposed to be, not according to what I say, who cares what I say, but according to what the Word of God says. And so that's what we're wanting to encourage each other with. So that's the first thing that we're going to do. And then number two, we're going to invest in the lives of the people who are here. You can't do discipleship without investing your life into somebody. Doesn't work. Discipleship doesn't work from 10 to 10:15 on Monday mornings. I think I can schedule you in there. The privilege of discipling my kids. I'm still discipling them. My kids are all grown and out of the house. As parents, you're discipling your kids. You know what it's like. Wanting them to grow up so that they're released into the world, and hopefully you've done a good job. That's all we're doing as believers in Christ, is raising them up in Christ and releasing them to the world so they can go out and tell others about Jesus. But you can't do that if you're not willing to spend copious amounts of time with other people. Doesn't happen on a single Sunday, on a Sunday morning. Doesn't happen in an hour. This time right here is far too little time to spend with any given person to do any real discipleship. And all of us need to understand that. You want to make an impact for Jesus in somebody's life, you have to be present for them. Have to be. So we invest in the lives of others. And want some good news? We're already doing that too. That's a good thing. We've been seeing the fruits of that. Think about it. 2008 came around, and Mark Scales was hired as co-pastor here. That marked a huge turn for the life of Heights Christian Church, because most everybody else from before then had been former hires, bring somebody else in, or people who hadn't been here for a while. Mark was somebody who was in-house at that moment, grew up in this church, spent more time in this church than me. It was funny. It was like, I've got more seniority as far as years on staff, and he had more time being here as part of the congregation. So we fought over who should be senior pastor. Anyway, so now I had a great relationship. For 14 years, I had a fantastic relationship with Mark. But what I loved about it was Mark was from here, was raised up from here to be pastor for here. And this Dorothy is like, he was in my Sunday school class. That's awesome, by the way. That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. But that's discipleship. That's what we want to see. And what I love is we're starting to see that crop up here in the church again. We have David who's here. Love what he's doing right now in the church. Amen? But he's from here. He came in through the daycare and became part of this church. And now, as part of the church, got raised up. One of the things that Mark said, hey, we need somebody in that role, and David's the person for it. You know what I loved about Mark? It's somebody from inside who need to be pulled up and discipled up. And he's going to be doing more stuff as he gets to graduate, as he becomes a true pastor of the church, and not just admin director, but admin director / admin pastor / whatever else we're going to put on this title. Or to see my son, who's now working on the youth group, coming up from within here and working with the young adults, and preached his first sermon last Sunday. What do you guys think? Pretty good? Amen? And I don't say that to pump him up or them up or just mention names saying, well, I wish I were there. That's the whole point. we're finally doing things that the Bible says we should be doing. Because we have others like Levi who shared on Christmas Eve, and Beetle who probably share sometime this year. I'm just telling you that ahead of time. Dathan and Roger who shared last year, the elders who are here in the church. We have people who are being raised up in our congregation for the purpose of ministry, the way that God designed it to be, and that's something to be encouraged about. Amen? It should be awesome when we see other people up here. Now, it's not just individuals, it's whole ministries. My goodness, the women's ministry this past year picked up the whole idea of mentoring one another. And I love, because Tara and all the women around the women's ministry, which we have a whole table of women. I'm sorry if I missed your name. But their whole focus has been, we need to pour into the lives of other women so that they can be raised up in Christ, have this discipleship model within them. We have the men's prayer that happens on Thursday mornings, 6:30. You can be here. It's the beginning part of so much discipleship that happens among the men. And now we have a men's ministry that's meeting on once a month, where we're meeting together now, which didn't happen before. All these things are happening from within because men and women are being raised up. I got Karen Green who's doing, I have no idea how many people she's mentoring. The praise team who have brought discipleship and mentoring within the realm of what they're doing. Everything that we're seeing right now, we have the seeds that are being planted in this place concerning all of these things. And it's awesome to see. And I just want you to know, we're investing in people here. And you're seeing the fruit of that every Sunday. Every Sunday. Sometimes you're seeing the fruit of it just in the background. It's not even the foreground people. It's all the people doing stuff in the background. So what do? We invest in people. And then we release them into ministry. Why are we releasing them into ministry? That means we're going to have more people preaching. I don't even know what to make of that reaction. Should be a praise God. But we're going to have more people preaching. Why are we going to have more people preaching? Because they're being raised up. And I've heard this question given to me at times. Well, if they're preaching all the time, what are you going to do? Let me tell you something. You know, if they start taking up, you know, they start taking up 20 of the sermons a year and you're only preaching, I don't know, the other 32, what are you doing for those 20 weeks? I mean, let me tell you something real quick. It is far easier for me to preach every sermon that in this church than to train somebody else to do it. I invest a whole lot more in those who I am training up to preach and teach and investing my life in than just coming up here. If you want a great sermon every week, I can do it, but God hasn't called me to do that. God has called me to raise up disciples, and he's called you to do the same. And the only way we can do that is to release people into ministry. So, what does that mean? Well, I want you to look at the benefits of it. By doing so, we have a multiplicity of men and women discipling others, multiplying ministry and care within the church and outreach outside the church. See, if everything is focused on me being the centerpiece of Sunday, first of all, I ain't Jesus, so it shouldn't be focused on me. I make a terrible Jesus. I'm not even a very good Jeremy Bannister some days, okay? So I'm just being honest with you. But I'm limited, just as Jesus was limited in his earthly ministry. But you know what? You raise up a Levi, a Beetle, a David, a Tara, a Mile, a Karen. I can just go through and name so many people who have so much impact on other people. And all of a sudden, we can meet the needs of the people in this body. Because if somebody's sick, somebody knows about it. And the pastor's not the only one who can minister to that need. If somebody comes in to hear about the word of God, and the pastor happens to be sick, well, praise God, I'm not the only one who knows how to faithfully administer the word of God in this place. See, discipleship is a must because discipleship is how the kingdom grows. And discipleship is a must is because that's how you grow. And it gives you confidence to share the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody around you because guess what? You've been in a place where we've released you from ministry and allowed you to succeed and allowed you to fail. Let me tell you something. You're going to be released into ministry because we're going to do that. And there are going to be times where you're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to bite off more than you can chew and have to come back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do that right. You're in a long line of people just like Jesus with Peter and James and John. Let me tell you something. Peter, James, John, we see so much about how much they got wrong in the scripture to let you know that you getting something wrong is not disqualifying for you ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, if that were the case, none of us would be qualified. Ever. By the grace of God, he grows us in the people he's called us to be so that we can go and share the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world around us. But we have to have a place. You and I have to have a place where that is fostered and encouraged. And this is that place among your brothers and sisters so that we grow in our personal knowledge of Jesus and the way in which we share Jesus with the world around us. So, I want to see more of what I saw at the end of this last year. How about you guys? I love Trinidad. Trinidad preached 4 sermons. I think he's going to preach at least that many this year. Maybe more. Maybe have other teaching opportunities. Wouldn't that be great? Do you see how many people were here during Christmas Eve? That was awesome. How many of you were at Christmas Eve service? Raise your hand. How many of Levi's neighborhood was here at Christmas service? And praise God. You know why? Because when people are learning about how to share the good news of Jesus, they're excited. Our biggest online viewing last year of sermons was Trinidad's sermon last year. Our biggest gathering of Christmas Eve, probably in a dozen years, was Levi. And not because Levi is so great, although he is, and Trinidad is so great, because he is, but because they're excited about sharing the good news of Jesus and they've been challenged to step up and share that good news. And when they are, they're the first one telling everybody, man, I'm going to be preaching. It's one thing, you know, Pastor Jeremy is a decent preacher and you should come hear him sometime. I'm preaching this week. You need to come. It's awesome because I get to tell you about Jesus, the Jesus who I love and I care about and I serve and I want you to know about this Jesus. And so guess what? We have to disciple to get you people up here so you'll tell everybody about Jesus whom you love and whom you want to serve. See, that's what I'm excited about 2026. We've already been moving in this direction. Amen? Man, and the more we do it, the more God is going to use each one of you to fill that seat next to you with somebody whom you love, who you care about, who doesn't know Jesus yet, whom you're going to spend copious amounts of time with, discipling them, building into their lives so that they too can become not just a follower of Jesus, but a mature disciple, leading others to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our goal, intimidating as it is. And maybe you're not all there yet, and that's fine. We have those circles outside that talk about the different areas where you might be. Nobody's in the neighborhood because if you're here, you're at least in the community. The neighborhood's where we go to. Amen? Find where you are in the circles and challenge yourself to dive in deeper. And here's some ways that you can do it. Okay, so this is how you get involved this next year. Challenge yourself. Number one, commit to reading with us through the Word. If it's your first time here at the church and you're like, I've never been to church, just pick up one of the reading plans and start reading with us and being here every single week. We're so glad you're here. Praise God for you being here. Thank you for wanting to be on this journey to be able to see who Jesus is and how he shows himself through the scriptures. And we look forward to being a part of that. But for you guys, just start reading through the Word. Be here. Get to know people. For those of you who've been here for a little while, maybe that next step is to join a life group, to get to be a part of a group of people who are really just going to pour into your life, The people in my life group I pray for, people in my life group we spend time with, not just in our life group time, we do other stuff together. They'll come over to my house, we'll do game nights and stuff like that. We do all types of stuff with my people in our life group. That's the way you should be. You should have people who are investing in your life. So if something's going on, you have people who are there to care for you. Getting into a life group is hugely important, especially if you want to be known within the body of Christ. For those of you who are a little bit further along saying, hey, yeah, but I've been doing the life group thing for a while, but I really want to make a difference, and I'm not sure what else I can do, I really encourage you guys to become part of the two-year discipleship class. Things are opening up for that. This month of January, if you have an interest in being part of that two-year discipleship class, it is a two-year commitment. Just letting you know ahead of time. But if you're interested, come and talk to me. Don't talk to David. You talk to Dave about other stuff. Okay, you talk to me about this, okay? So come and talk to me because I want to have all the list of all the people saying, I want to go deeper, I'm ready for that type of commitment in the discipleship class. And over this next month, you're going to hear about people who are going to come up here and share with you a little bit, very briefly, about what that discipleship class has done for them. And finally, become a mentor for those of you who are mature, who have walked the faith, who understand who Jesus is, what you've done, what he's done for you, and you can walk somebody else. If you're in the women's ministry, when they step up and do that mentorship again, step into that mentoring of another young lady who needs that. For the guys to come alongside another guy in the church. For families to come alongside other families and to mentor them in the Lord. Spend copious amounts of time with them, praying for them, letting them know that you care for them and you want to see them raised up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So do all this with the understanding that God wants you to invest your life in the lives of others who need Jesus and are growing in him. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? How's that for a vision for 2026? I'm going to tell you right now, it's beyond you to do. And that's why Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And I'm with you always. You're not doing this on your own. Jesus is with you. The people around here love you. We want to see you growing up. There are a lot of people that you might be thinking of right now that you might need to say, I need to go. And that's the person I need to talk to about Jesus. This place up front is for you to pray for those people. Pray for your courage and your strength in Christ to go share the good news to them. So that someday they might be sitting beside you in this place hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ, not just from the pulpit, but from your lips. Maybe you don't know Jesus. My prayer is that you come to know Jesus. If you want to know more about this Jesus, our elders will be up here. They're going to be up here at the end of the service, and you can come and ask, and we're going to set you on a journey to know more about this Jesus, and you came to the right place. Can I just tell you, you came to the right place? And we're so glad you're here. Would you all stand with me? 2026 is going to be a great year, amen? I'm really looking forward to it. I think that by doing these things, God will be glorified, and you will not believe the types of changes that he's already working inside this congregation from those who are desiring more of him to share with the world around them. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for a new year. Thank you for 2026. Amen. I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us be better disciples, better followers, whether it's us reading the Word of God for the first time, joining a life group, deepening our relationship in some way with you so that we can go out and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Use this place, oh God, as a training ground where we succeed and fail all under the banner of Christ for his glory, for his name's sake alone, and that you, through our successes, through our failures, will grow your kingdom, oh God. Because of what you've done in Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord. Change us. Help us be the disciples you've called. In Jesus' name, amen.